Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Gene will not be joining us today.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jack.
Yes, you are.
It's really Jack here in the studio with us. Jack is one of our behind-the-scenes team member. He edits our episodes every week, so you will have the best quality audio we can provide. And last year, he represented us at the Social Health Award Ceremony, accepting our Best Team Award. Thanks for stopping in, Jack.
Thank you for having me. It's a little bit different just being on this side of it today.
Yeah, for sure.
And on today's episode of Podcast DX, we're talking about a condition called pneumothorax.
Well, Jack, please walk us through the symptoms and what made you seek medical care for pneumothorax.
So typical symptoms for pneumothorax may include, but are not limited to, chest pain, low blood pressure, dizziness, a rapid heart rate, difficulty breathing, and cyanosis or a bluish tint to the skin.
All right. Well, thanks for giving us that information. But Jack, what exactly is a pneumothorax?
That's when air enters the chest cavity between the chest wall and lung, causing pressure on the lung, causing it to fully or partially collapse.
And how do they diagnose that kind of a condition?
Your healthcare provider may use an X-ray, a CT scan, or a combination of the two to help diagnose a pneumothorax. In my case, I was at the local urgent care because I was, you know, starting to feel the symptoms of it. And they used an X-ray to determine that my lung was starting to collapse.
Oh.
And then that's when they called an ambulance over and I had to go to the big general hospital instead to get it taken care of.
Okay.
Well, that's good that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Did they know, the doctors, did they know actually what causes the pneumothorax, what causes this thing to happen?
So there's two types of pneumothoraxes, traumatic and spontaneous. According to the Cleveland Clinic, a spontaneous pneumothorax is a collapsed lung that happens without an injury. Types include a primary spontaneous pneumothorax when there's no underlying health condition or disease that causes the collapsed lung. This can happen if abnormal air pockets in your lung, also known as blebs, break apart and release air. And then a secondary spontaneous pneumothorax are caused by certain lung diseases, which can lead to a collapsed lung. This can happen when your lung is blocked and it's causing bulging areas that can burst.
Huh.
And then there's a traumatic pneumothorax, which is it kind of is based off of injuries and medical procedures that can cause that. Types of those include injury-related pneumothorax, when an injury to your chest, like a fractured rib or a knife wound, can puncture your lung, and a latrogenic pneumothorax, when your lung is punctured during a medical procedure, like a lung biopsy or a central venous line insertion. Other types of pneumothoraxes include a tension pneumothorax, when air can get into your lungs but can't get out. The one-way valve effect causes the pressure to build up inside of your chest. This is a serious form of a pneumothorax that's a medical emergency. And then a catamenial pneumothorax, which is a rare condition that can affect people with endometriosis. Endometrial tissue growing outside of your uterus can form cysts that bleed into the pleural space, causing your lung to collapse.
Wow. And for your case, what did they find out caused it, did they?
So mine was a spontaneous pneumothorax, which they didn't really know the causes of it. To this day, because this happened about 5 to 6 years ago now, it happened in December 2018. To this day, I'm still not entirely sure why it was caused. I mean, I have my own theories inside of my head as to why, but there was no like official diagnosis of it, or excuse me, like more of a cause by it,
right,
by the
right.
doctor.
Right. What were your guesses?
So, I mean, at the time I was, tall and super thin, which, we'll get to that, but
okay.
That was one of the causes,
that could
have like caused it. Yeah. And then at the time, It's a little bit of a funny story. So this was before, you know, Illinois legalized, you know, cannabis.
Uh-huh.
And I was using a lot of like, it's like the like wax version of it at uh-huh. the time. And obviously it wasn't legal. So I'm not sure who was putting what in it
okay.
at the time. And I was just using those frequently to the point where I think it might have caused, you know, that to happen.
Okay, okay.
Because I remember reading articles about it afterwards where people
so
are.
So maybe the fact that you were tall and thin and inhaling something that might
right.
or might not have been tainted. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
So thanks for sharing the different types of pneumothoraxes. I guess that's plural.
Yeah.
The different types of pneumothorax. Yeah, right. We'll get back to you on that one. But can you let our audience know what are some of the risk factors for developing just generally a pneumothorax?
Your gender. Men are far more likely to have a pneumothorax than are women. So that didn't really help in my case. Smoking. You can lower your risk by not smoking, since smoking increases your risk of developing a pneumothorax. Like I mentioned earlier, people who are very tall and very underweight are at a higher risk of developing a pneumothorax. And then genetics, there are types of pneumothoraxes which appear to just run in family genetics. And then also, if you have an underlying lung disease, especially chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or COPD, you may be more likely to develop a collapsed lung. Also, if you've had a pneumothorax, you are at increased risk of having another one.
Wow, that's a lot to digest. How did your healthcare team choose to treat you and your type of pneumothorax?
So the typical course of treatment for a pneumothorax will depend on the cause and many other factors. A course of treatment may include the insertion of a needle or chest tube or surgery. In my case, it was the chest tube that they had to use. So when I arrived to the hospital, they had to sedate me. And then they had to insert the chest tube in so that it could reinflate my lung to where it was supposed to be. And they kept me in there for about, I think, like 3 nights and 4 days just to like double check and make sure that, it is completely inflated and that, once they do take it out, that it's able to work on its own again and inhale and exhale. But it could vary for so many people. It could be longer.
So I watched Grey's Anatomy a lot. And I've seen them put chest tubes in
uh-huh.
in the emergency room.
Right.
But I don't think they sedated. I didn't notice that they sedated anybody. And you can actually see the person kind of like jump from the sudden, oh, what the hell was that? But you were out of it, so you didn't really notice that? Or
I mean, I wasn't like completely under.
Okay.
But
just kind of like a twilight?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, I did still actually, funny enough you say that, that still did happen to me where I like kind of jumped up. At least that's what my mom said when
right.
she was there witnessing it. And I think it wasn't like from pain. It was just more from like, yes, exactly.
I mean, you don't expect something sharp and pointy to go into your lung.
But yeah, it was just like, I just reacted based on like, what is hitting my chest
right,
so
right,
suddenly?
Right, right, right. That had to be a very strange feeling.
Oh, 100%.
Ugh. And what was the recovery period for you after you got out of the hospital? Did they have you, like, do you have to do physical therapy, breathing treatments? What do they do for you?
So there was no, like, direct treatments recommended by the hospital. It was more like suggestions of what you should do. Stop smoking. And just like, doing breathing exercises, just remembering to like take a nice deep like inhale into your nose, exhale through your chest. And just like, staying away from places that might be a little more polluted in the air, just so like that doesn't
protect
like,
your lungs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, that's really been like the one thing that I've had to do.
Okay.
So let me follow up with that with things that you might be prohibited from. I see on our script. The question is about scuba diving. Now, I know that if you have a collapsed lung and pneumothorax, it does prohibit you from diving just because of the medical concern. But what about flying or other activities that have pressure changes, even though that you're recovered? what do the doctors tell you? Also, are there any precautions now that you need to take or anything that you can do to prevent a future or recurring spontaneous pneumothorax?
So to start out, unfortunately, I know this is going to break your heart to hear, but I'm never allowed to scuba dive. Mm-hmm. Just because of the pneumothorax and the pressure and everything, which really sucks because for a while I really wanted to do that.
Right.
And then they're like, you can't do that. And I'm like, ah, rats. As far as flying, right now I'm allowed to fly. They just kind of wanted me to wait, I would say like about 3 or 4 months before I like went into a plane. Just because of the, the pressure changes, mm-hmm. and they wanted to make sure that, it
didn't
happen.
And you probably cannot skydive, right?
They never mentioned that.
But I'm thinking because you don't have the pressurized plane around you,
right.
I think that might be dangerous too.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, that's
and
a
you
question.
Probably can't be an astronaut anymore.
Ah, they ruined it. but yeah, after 3 or 4 months, then they said, you can go onto a plane again. And it should be totally fine. And once I did, for the most part, it was fine. When I did go on a plane, I think it was just more like I was kind of psyching myself mm-hmm. out, like when
worrying
I was on the plane.
Like,
yeah.
What might happen? Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, like, am I feeling the tightness in my chest? Like, just really overanalyzing it.
Sure.
But I think that was just like nerves and anxiety.
Right.
Really
I would have
me.
That, definitely.
Well, how about now? Putting the plane aside, I mean, how are you feeling these days? Any changes or you feel back to normal?
Yeah, I pretty much feel back to normal. I mean, every now and then I'll have like I'll kind of like overanalyze it again, just like be a little diligent on mm-hmm. like if I'm feeling something in my chest again, because how it started, if you don't mind me giving the story. So around that time when like my pneumothorax happened, it was in December and I was starting to feel like kind of like there was like a round pain like on the right side of my chest. Mm-hmm. And every time I'd breathe in, it would kind of just be like a mild, like a little bit of a quick sharp mm-hmm. pain. And then when I'd exhale, it would still be like, the lingering pain. And I mentioned this to my mom and she was like, oh, I don't know. Like we don't have to go to the hospital yet. So I was like, okay, so I sleep on it. And then I wake up the next day and it's pretty much worse. And it kind of like expanded over to like my arm, like the lingering pain.
Right. Now you're thinking it's a heart attack.
Which arm?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Which arm was it?
Right arm.
My right arm.
Okay.
Because it was my right lung.
Yeah.
I was collapsing. So I was like, I tell my mom again, I'm like, hey, it's getting a lot worse.
Yeah.
So she takes me to the urgent care first.
Right.
And then they do the x-ray and everything and determine. They come back in after the x-ray and they're like, yeah, you have a spontaneous pneumothorax happening right now.
It sounds so casual.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you have it.
That's
yeah.
exactly, they yeah. actually said it pretty
like
casually
they, like
too.
Like they see it all the time,
They said it pretty casually too.
And like, this was pre-COVID, right?
Yes, this was 2018.
Okay.
So yeah. And then they're like, we called an ambulance to take you to the hospital ASAP. And while it was scary.
And now your mom's.
What was your first
Google.
Thought though?
Yeah. I mean, you're I mean, probably thinking, what the hell is
you're,
that?
You're like, I don't feel right. And mom's like, well, let's go to the urgent care. And then all of a sudden they hit you with that. I mean,
what
was going through your mind?
It was definitely scary. Cause I didn't know, what the treatment was
and
or what to
probably
expect.
Your first ambulance, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it definitely was scary just because I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
It was a little validating to like, I was a little proud of myself being like, okay.
There was something wrong, right?
Yeah,
right.
Like I was like, okay, like I'm a little proud of myself for actually like taking the action to
That's good. Yeah,
go
a
do
lot,
that.
A lot, we've talked about this. A lot of guys just try to muscle through any pain
right.
and don't take care of themselves. And it's important. Any part
why are you
of the,
staring at me?
Because you're a guy.
Yeah.
you're the same type of guy. You well, I could see you.
I'm the same type of guy. Wow.
How many years did you go without having that shoulder done that you should have had it done?
I thought we were talking about Jack here.
Okay. All right.
So let's switch gears. Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. You weren't finished, Jack.
Oh, no. The last thing I was just going to say was, It's a little bit funny too, because at the same time when they were saying that and after they left the room, because they were going to get like, you know, the gurney or no, the wheelchair okay. to like get me
to
into
get
that.
You over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of looked at my mom and I gave her like a, I told you so.
Yeah. Well, what you're describing as far as pain, that's kind of the same pain I had when I had a blood clot in my lung.
Okay.
And I slept on it and I said, it's probably nothing. And I woke up the next day and it was worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the shoulder too. And I'm like, oh, it's got to be a heart attack. And now when I'm laying there and they said, we're going to take you for a scan. Now I'm in the scan and I'm thinking, oh, you know what it is? It's just my damn hiatal hernia back again. Why didn't I think of this before? I could get out of here now.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're busting me about my shoulder.
I'm
and
giving
you, were...
you a chance to get back. So then it turns out that it wasn't my hiatal hernia. It wasn't a heart attack. It was a blood clot in the lung. So I'm glad I went, but it was the next day. All right. Go ahead, Ron.
So, yeah, we are going to switch gears a bit here. But, Jack, thank you for all that information. That's... appreciate you sharing your story with us for one, but it's definitely some very good information to have. Earlier, Lita mentioned that you attended an award ceremony. You want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. So the WeGo Health Awards were just recently in Philadelphia, and Podcast DX had the honor of winning the best team. And Lita, Gene, and Ron let me take the honors of going and attending and accepting the award for everybody. And it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun.
Fantastic. So what are you looking forward to personally in this upcoming year, Jack?
So just working at my job at a concert venue and just the next summer season that's coming up with all these different music artists and shows coming up with the nice weather.
Can you hook me up with some tickets?
I mean, yeah, after the show.
After the show.
There's a memento ticket from the show of the year.
But that and just, yeah, just like, you know, keeping track of my health, working on my health, making sure that I'm trying to like get like a new regime that, you know, I'm increasing, you know, my, you know, cardio working out or something
right, aerobic type stuff.
Yeah, sure. Just to like help my, not only my heart, but my like lung capacity as a whole, like kind of get more used to it.
I've heard that yoga is pretty good to,
is it?
To do for breathing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to get into again soon.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah. If our listeners want to learn more about you or spontaneous pneumothorax, where can they go?
So if you want to learn more about me, I mostly use Instagram.
Okay.
So the Instagram is my first name, Jack, and then I spelled my last name in a funny way. So Jack and then Screoh. No spaces or anything like
Got
that.
Got it. Okay. Jack, thank you for everything that you do for our podcast and for us and for taking the time to share your story with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm glad that we had this idea to talk about my own condition.
Right.
A little bit more, you know, in front of the mic besides behind it.
Right.
Instead.
And yeah, we do like to bring back guests because your memory may have changed since then. Your condition may change since then. How are you keeping COVID at bay? Because you don't want any breathing problems with COVID.
Right. I mean, since at my job, I kind of have to be around tons and tons of people at a concert venue. I mask up, as much as I can. And then, yeah, just masking up wherever I can go.
Okay.
Making sure that if I'm, you know, feeling bad or if someone's like, you know, starting to cough or anything, I'm like, all right, we can hang out another time. No,
right,
thank you.
Right, right.
But just masking up as much as I can, especially at my job. And it's been going well so far.
Yeah, we call it COVID cautious. And we are big proponents.
Well, you know what? I haven't seen you in a long time, so I'm glad you're in the studio. It's great to see you today. And more so than that, we really appreciate you sharing all this information about the pneumothorax.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I was happy to, you know, share my experience.
Super. Well, that wraps it up for us today. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can drop us a line at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We have a website, podcastdx.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and TikTok.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or another healthcare qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never ever disregard professional medical advice or delaying seeking it because of something that you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.